flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I was hosting Good Morning MSP. It was an event with Jonathan Weinhagen over at the Depot in Minneapolis. And they made this big announcement that there was a program through the city of Bloomington called Hatch. It is an opportunity for business owners to compete to win $100,000. And to open a business, brick and mortar, in the city of Bloomington. And I was like, this is amazing. I have to do what I got to do to amplify this message. So I invited Jonathan Weinhagen from the regional chamber here in Minneapolis and Bloomington Mayor Tim Bussey to join the show. They are joining me courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, good afternoon, Shaletta. Okay. Always fun to be on your show.
Now, Jonathan, you got to tell me, how did you get involved with Hatch and what this program is all about? Because there's a deadline or something coming up, and I want to make sure folks know about it and get in and share and help me spread the word before this thing closes, because this is phenomenal. I've never heard of anything like this.
There is a deadline of May 3rd, so we are coming up, you know, days away from the deadline. And it really was the genesis of a lot of different things. You and I have talked about the importance of capital and support for small businesses for mm-hmm. A number of years here. And as we come out of the pandemic and think about how do we really, shore up, corridors across our cities, we need to think innovatively. And that's where Bloomington came in. The city of Bloomington came to the chamber and said, hey, we've got this idea. They did this thing in Detroit, started it 15 years ago, called Hatch. And we'd like to, replicate it right here in the city of Bloomington with a focus on brick and mortar. Would you be our partner in this? And, it didn't take long for us to get to yes. And, we've had an opportunity to go out to Detroit to learn about their program. And now we are, in the early stages with the applications open right now of bringing this thing to life and seeing some incredible business ideas come through the portal. So we're super excited about it.
Okay. Now, Mayor Bussey, most people are running away from Jonathan. You are running to him to work with him on this Hatch program. Talk to me about Hatch and tell folks exactly kind of what it is, what it hopes to do and who it hopes to help.
Oh, I can't imagine anyone running from Jonathan. I do.
I can't lie to you, Mayor Bussey. I'll be running.
the Minneapolis Chamber's been a great partner with the city of Bloomington, and I applaud Jonathan and their willingness to jump in to this with us, because it's a bit of an adventure, but we're so happy to be partners with them. We, as Jonathan said, we were looking for ways to spur entrepreneurial fever in Bloomington and get people involved and to promote small businesses. And this idea of Hatch Bloomington came up. We're looking at it as an opportunity to promote the small businesses with an emphasis on sustainability, creativity, equity, inclusiveness. And we want applicants at basically any part of their business development timeline, folks who are in the idea stage or who are looking at expansion. The main idea, though, being that we want to see a brick and mortar facility in the city of Bloomington. And boy, the number of people that I have talked to, the number of applications that have been received, the excitement that this has generated, it's just been fantastic.
And I want to know, Mayor Bussey, do you have to live in Bloomington? I'm already getting text messages from folks, some of my entrepreneur friends who are listening to the show at their shops and in their homes, and they're saying, I don't live in Bloomington. Can I still apply?
It is not a live in Bloomington. It's to locate your business in Bloomington. So
okay.
No, the residency requirement isn't with the where you live. It's where you would locate the business.
Okay. Now, Jonathan, how can people sign up? Folks are texting me. They want a website, a link. Do they need to go somewhere? Y'all got my phone blowing up. I can't even do my show right now. These business owners heard $100,000 in brick and mortar, and they have lost their minds.
Well, we love that the word is getting out, and we encourage everybody to go visit hatchbloomington.com. Super simple. There's an application link there. It walks you right through it. And then along the way, our team is there to help support the process. We're hosting listening sessions, learning sessions. Pick up the phone, call me, call the mayor, call our team. We want to help folks, bring their idea to life. And Shaletta, one of the neat things that we've heard about Hatch, from the Detroit experience is the $100,000 is amazing and life-changing. But when we get down to these 10 finalists as part of the process, the visibility these folks are going to get, mm-hmm. the opportunities in the media and through social media and other things, is just like it's palpable. What we've heard from folks is that's almost as valuable as the cash prize. Mm-hmm. We can't wait to celebrate the one individual who gets both. But all along the way, there's incredible value to being a part of this process.
Okay, now Mayor Bussey, the application deadline is May 3rd. Take me through the steps. What happens after that? Because as Jonathan was saying, there's going to be some finalists. There's going to be a selection. Talk to me about what happens after folks apply.
Well, after the applicants submit all their deliverables, their business plan and their marketing plan and all that they need to submit, there's going to be three rounds of judging over the course of about 4 months. So as we head into the summer here, the first round, we got a great group of judges put together, business leaders, community leaders, and so on, to go through the initial applications. And then as we start to winnow it down, it will become incredibly public, down to, in fact, the last one or two rounds. I'm not exactly sure. Jonathan can probably correct me on this. But literally, we'll be on stage at our community theater, a la Shark Tank, in front of a live audience, where these folks are going to have to present their business plan. They're going to have to make their pitch in front of a live audience, and community members will have the opportunity to vote online. And so it's kind of an exciting thing with business professionals winnowing the group down a bit, but then having the whole community involved in deciding who the ultimate winner will be.
Oh my gosh, this is exciting. It's also scary. Talk to me about the ultimate goal, Jonathan. We're hearing a lot. Is it that we want to promote small businesses? We want to expand, entrepreneurs in Bloomington. We want to highlight, the need to support small businesses. What's the one thing that, you're most excited about with Hatch Bloomington?
Shaletta, I start with saying it's all of the above. It's all of those things you just mentioned. The thing that I'm most excited about is spurring that energy and that innovation and creating opportunity. And to have the city of Bloomington as a partner, this incredible beacon as a city. And I would just note that since we launched this thing, we're hearing from cities all across the metro, kind of asking us like, hey, what about us? Can we do something similar? And I think the message I've heard from Mayor Bussey and the Bloomington team is bring it on. We'd love to see Hatch all across the MSP region. So we're excited about this. We're grateful for the leadership of the mayor and his team. But we just can't wait to get to that May 3rd deadline, to start winnowing down the applicants and to learn more about these incredible entrepreneurs that want to bring something to life in the city of Bloomington.
Okay. Give me that website again, Mayor Busty, because I want to make sure everybody has this information. And my producer, Josh, is going to also put it online because my phone is literally blowing up. I have to do my show, y'all. I'm in the middle of a show, everybody. They think that because we're talking and it sounds like we're having a conversation that I'm not working. I'm actually working, so I can't get to the people right now. So give us that website again because I want to make sure that nobody misses this. This is the thing, Mayor Busty, is, you know, a lot of times for entrepreneurs and small business owners, we're so busy working that we miss out on opportunities. And so by the time we hear about it, it's in the paper and we've missed the deadline. And I want to make sure, especially with Hatch Bloomington and how much fun this process is going to be, that people don't miss this opportunity to apply to be a part of the process. Because like Jonathan said, even the folks who don't win the $100,000, just being a part of the process, it's going to be fun. You're going to get the visibility. You're going to get all this earned media attention, and you're going to be able to make some great connections that are going to last, a lifetime.
You're exactly right. First of all, you're exactly right. You're the hardest working woman in show business, without question. I have no doubt about that. But also, you're right that anybody who just participates is going to see a huge benefit on this, the exposure, but also some of the work that they do behind the scenes with our folks who will help them with their business plan, with their marketing plan. And you're absolutely right. I've been talking to mayors across the metro region who want in on this. And you always know that something is working in city government when other cities try and do the same thing. That's why we're copying Hatch Detroit, and other cities will copy Hatch Bloomington, just because it's a great idea. The website is www.hatchbloomington.com. The deadline is coming up next week. We'd love to see as many people as possible get their name in the hopper. We would love to see it.
Well, Mayor Busty, my brother Jonathan, thank y'all so much for being on the Shaletta Show. We've had a blast.
Thank you, my friend. Always fun to be on.
All right. Yes, and I have to thank Jonathan, too. This thing went out and bought 100 copies of my son's autism book, Andrew Does His Dance. Thank you so much. I was so blown away. I was like, how do we go from number 85 to number 2 on the bestseller list? Who bought 100 books? That was you. Thank you, friend. I really appreciate you helping me spread autism awareness.
You are welcome.
All right, y'all stick around. We've got more to come. I woke up this morning and I told my kiddos, I said, after we finish our swim lessons at the Minneapolis Club, we are going to go to the Minneapolis Breakfast Club on Lagoon. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever been there. This is an unsolicited, unpaid endorsement. I went there the first time a couple of weeks ago. I'd never been before. And I got in there and it was just a vibe. They had 80s music playing. I'm talking Phil Collins, Madonna, Sting, The Police, Jody Watley, Tone Loc. I mean, it was beautiful. I felt at home. I was like, you know, I don't know what the food is going to be like, but the vibe is everything. It was so clean in there. And this is the funny thing. So when I was asking about the menu, the waitress told me we have Instagrammable food. And you know me, I immediately knew she was talking about. She was talking about taking pictures and putting it on social media. And y'all know that's my jam, right? So I ordered, I can't remember what I ordered that time, but it was something with some cornbread on the bottom and some pork and black beans and corn with some kind of sauce. And it was freaking delicious. I also had breakfast egg rolls. And I also had corn dogs that had hot cakes on the outside and sausage on the inside and some kind of strawberry syrup gravy. And I also, and this is why I have gained back those 18 ounces that I had lost. Mm-hmm. I also had mimosas. And it was just the greatest little spot. And I was having a good time. And then they turned it up to 10. Because all of a sudden a DJ came in. I was like, wait a minute. You got MTV playing on the TVs. You got Instagrammable food that actually tastes good. Because I don't know about y'all. I've been in restaurants where the food looks good and you're taking pictures and you're posting on social media about how pretty the food is. And then you put it in your mouth and it tastes like your kids made it. Mm-hmm. Not this place. That food's good. That food was really, really good. And so, And so the DJ came in and we were jamming, and all of a sudden my son Daniel gets up and he is dancing to Phil Collins' Sussudio. And I mean, he is getting his little 9-year-old dance moves on. And I swear people were clapping and cheering him on. I said, you know, I need to get a tin cup or something because it is never too early to start that college savings fund. And if they appreciate it this much, then they need to be making a donation, because my baby was putting on the show. And so we all had food and everybody really enjoyed everything they had. The kids even tried the chicken and gravy. My kids don't eat gravy, but they enjoyed it. And so the DJ came, and baby, he played Beat It by Michael Jackson. Yes, he did that. And I, ladies and gentlemen, could not control what happened next with my body parts. I jumped up out of that seat in that booth, and I got in the middle of the Breakfast Club, Minneapolis, and I started doing the Beat It dance combination. My children were mortified. They started calling me Miss Shaletta because they thought, surely this is not my mom. I was in a trance, y'all. All I was missing was a glitter glove, some glitter socks, and a Jerry Curl in that red jacket with all the zippers on it. That's all I was missing, because I can't remember what the square root of pi is, but damn it, I remember that whole Michael Jackson Beat It routine from beginning to end. Now, listen, right now my knees are hurting. Really? I have some ibuprofen that I took during a commercial break, but for 7 minutes, oh, I was Michael Jackson, Michael Peters, whoever was in the video, that was me. I was doing all the routines. I'm telling you, I almost went down on one knee and let the kids throw my coat over my shoulders like James Brown used to do when he, you know, did his dance moves and had the cape, and Maceo, a bird would come over and throw the cape on him. That was almost me, except my kids were too embarrassed. I looked for Brandon. He was under the table, embarrassed. Daniel was hiding his face. Cameron was just, she was just shaking her head. They were pretty embarrassed. I had a good time, and I high fived some people at the restaurant who understood how complex that dance routine was, because Michael Jackson was not to be played with back in the day. So we had a good time. We had a good time. Food was good. The vibe was good. The place was clean. And when we got there, it was really early because we have swim at the Minneapolis Club at 7:15. Then we went over to the Breakfast Club. So we got there probably about 8:15, 8:30. So we got right in and got a table. But when we left at about 9:45, headed to church so the kids could go to choir rehearsal for 10. Oh, that place was packed. People were standing outside and nobody was complaining because they knew what I knew. That the place was hot and smoking. And here's the sweetest thing. So the manager who was there, he came right up to me. He said, "I know you." I said, "You do?" And he said, "I am a faithful listener to WCCO Radio." He said, "And I love Sid Hartman. And I listen to Chad Hartman, and I love how you give him the business every Friday afternoon. You don't ever give him a break. You don't miss. You stay on him. I love it." And he starts telling me these stories about how when he lived out of town, and this was before we could stream and podcast and go online and listen to the station, you know, he said that he would pick up a copy of the Star Tribune just so he could read Sid's column, so he could feel like he was closer to home in the Twin Cities. And so he said when he got an opportunity to come back and run this restaurant, we're talking about the Breakfast Club of Minneapolis, he came back gladly to do that. And I tell you, he is making it an amazing atmosphere. Like I said, I had a great time. I'm still full because I ate my food. I ate part of Cameron's food and most of Brandon's food because it was just, everything was so good and it was such a great atmosphere. And it was nice to go to a place where I could take my kids and they enjoy it. And you know what? I don't even know if they had like the color and stuff because the food came so fast. We didn't even have to ask for like, can we have some colors or color and stuff? But they were quite entertained with the music and the vibe, and it's well lit and the windows are open and construction's a booger. But there is a parking ramp nearby that you can park in. But that part of Lagoon Avenue is under construction. There's one lane. It's hard to kind of see how to get there, but just go ahead and park in the ramp, go in, have breakfast or brunch. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. That's the Breakfast Club of Minneapolis. I had an amazing time, and I wish that I could remember the name of that manager there. He was so kind and so sweet to me and my family when we came, and to have him tell me he was a listener of this historic radio station, it just meant all the world to me. And it'll mean all the world to me if y'all stick around and come back. You know, I love getting out in community and hanging with people and talking to people and meeting new people. And so this week I had the pleasure of speaking at the Rotary Club in Minneapolis. And I went, and I think it was Wednesday morning at an ungodly hour, something like 7:15. I had to leave my kids and say, okay, I hope y'all make it to school, because I promised these people I'd go speak at the Rotary Club. And I'm guessing they made it to school because they made it home. Bless the Lord. And I got there, and, you know, we had breakfast and coffee and hung out. And then, you know, I just kind of told them my story, and we chatted, and I challenged them. You know, because next week is Small Business Week, that each one of them would spend some time with a small business owner that they did not know, and do what they could to help them. You know, as these organizations like the Rotary Club and so many others look to try to define who they are and what they do for community and cement their legacy, you know, I told them, I said, it's time out for meetings. It's time out for, you know, parliamentary procedures. It's time to get out there and help the people. And I told them, what they doing for Q1, Q2? What kind of service projects have they gotten involved in? What are they doing to make sure that small business owners like me have an opportunity to have their ear, to connect to the people and the resources that they know, right? And so as soon as the meeting was over, Jim Nelson ran up to me. Never met Jim Nelson before in my life. And he said, you know, I just want to tell you, I'm connected to something called Onward House. And it's for residential houses and bedrooms. And we got programming and case management. And we're really trying to help people who are experiencing homelessness or you know, housing instability. I said, okay, all right, I like what you're doing. And so he went on and on about Onward House and how much, you know, he's been involved since he got started. He's on the board over there. And it's been around since 2018, but they've got this new strategic plan they got going on. And I said, you know, Jim, I want you to come on my show so we can talk about Onward House, because I like the work that you're doing with this organization. And don't you know, Jim made some time for me. Hey, Jim.
Hello there. How are you?
Jim, I am great. It was so good to meet you. Did we have fun or did we have fun this week at the Rotary Club?
You energized the room in a big way.
I keep telling people, if they are not hiring me to speak at their events, they are missing out. I mean, you know, people always say, no disrespect to the other hosts in town. I was like, but I'm the best. It's okay to say it. You can say it out loud. They all know. I know. It's okay. You can say it. But I had a good time. I was so grateful that you all had me there. And, you know, just to chat with you all and to meet new people like you. And in addition to, you know, being a part of the Rotary, you're now on the board of Onward House. Now, you got to tell me what Onward House is and what it's all about. Because when you shared the vision of this organization with me, immediately, what did I tell you? I was like, you got to come on my radio show and talk about it.
And I was very happy to do it. I'll tell you, in a nutshell, Shaletta, Onward operates a house. The house is presently located in Eden Prairie, but we've got some strategic plans that we hope that it'll be more than that. But we serve young adults, and by that I mean 18 to 24 years old, who are, as you mentioned, in an unstable housing situation. That is, they've been in an abusive household, they're rejected by their family because they're LGBTQ, or they're living in poverty, and any number of factors. But essentially, mm-hmm. they're without a home. They may be living in their car, or they may be couch surfing at friends, as long as the friends will have them. At various places. And I think we can only imagine how hard it is to maintain a job or keep up with studies when you don't know where you're going to be sleeping tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are kind of hidden because they're not in shelters. They might have been in foster care when they were younger, but now they're adults. And so what Onward does is our house has only four bedrooms, so we can only handle four at one time. But we provide that stable place for these young adults to live for up to 2 years while the resident works or completes their studies, whether it be high school or post-secondary training. So, and along with those safe places to live, Onward provides supportive services. We teaching life skills, financial literacy, budgeting, of course, and of course, just plain old person-to-person encouragement in developing and meeting goals so that the resident can successfully launch into an independent living situation.
Now, how did you get involved with the board? What was that process like?
Yeah, well, I got involved, and I've only been a member of the board for the last 5 months. I joined in January, and so mm-hmm. if you ask me something I don't know, I'm going to be honest and tell you I don't know. But I have an acquaintance through Rotary, a member of the Eden Prairie Noon Rotary Club, who's been very active in Onward. And in fact, John Urbanski is the president of the board of Onward this year. And he contacted me late last year and described Onward because I'd never heard of it before. Told me some success stories, had me meet some of the board members with whom I was terribly impressed. A wonderful group of committed people. And then asked me to join the board, and it didn't take me long to decide to say yes, because I was so inspired by it.
And so what are some of your goals being on the board at Onward? Do you, because, a lot of times when people are in the day-to-day, it's hard to see long-term. But having somebody new come in with a fresh set of eyes, what are some of your goals and what's impressed you the most about Onward and the service that, the program provides?
Yeah. First of all, in terms of my goal in joining the board, I think aligns with the board's goals in having me, which is they've been kind of, the legal name is Onward Eden Prairie, but they serve the West Metro suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll take people from anywhere. But their volunteers and their board members have primarily been residents of Eden Prairie. And they to expand and complete their strategic goal, which I could share with you a little bit too, they need other people from other communities to be on the board and to make contacts, to look for volunteers, to look for money, et cetera, and to create awareness of the program in these other communities. So that's why I agreed to join. That's what I'm doing.
Okay, and what's impressed you the most coming in, seeing, this work? What did you see that you said, oh my God, this is amazing?
Easily, it's the stories I've heard of their successes. Now, we've really been in business only since 2018, so we have a limited number, four at a time. Well, there's two things. One is the need for this kind of service, and this is the only organization that has this kind of on-site supportive services for this age group in the West Metro that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
The success stories I've heard, one resident has graduated from the program, and not only that, graduated with a nursing degree. She's now a registered
nurse.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. We just had one exit the program, and we did a little, exit interview.
Mm-hmm.
And this resident said, it's very much like a home. It's as close to being a home as a program can be. And then she said, this place gave me the opportunity to have dreams.
Mm.
Think of that. I mean, the opportunity
Beautiful.
To have dreams. And, if you're couch surfing and you're just struggling just to survive, it's tough. It's tough. And it's tough to have dreams.
Yeah. Yeah, more have more nightmares than dreams if that's your reality. Sure. Now, let me ask you, Jim, how can folks get involved in Onward? If somebody is hearing this story and says, you know, I need to do more to get involved. I said at the beginning of the year when I made my New Year's resolutions that I was going to do more volunteer work and I haven't done anything. This sounds like something I want to be connected with. This sounds like a place I want to donate my dollars. How can they get in touch with Onward?
Yes. They can start with our website, which is onwardep.org. Very simple.
Onwardep.org. That's where you need to go.
Stands for Eden Prairie, the EP. I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
I want you to be aware that we are having an open house at the home on Monday. This coming Monday, the 29th, at 4:30 and 6:30. I've already invited you.
Yes, you have.
I hope you come and bring a friend. And you can get information on that at the website, www.onwardeatingprayer.org/openhouse.
Yep, and it is Monday from 4:30 to 6:30. Folks will get to tour the house, meet the board and staff, learn more. They want you to RSVP on the website, and you can contact the executive director. Her name is Tricia Wright, and that information for the RSVP is on the website, onwardep.org/openhouse. Jim Nelson, thank you for being my new best friend.
Thank you for coming on my show. Thank you very much.
Okay, now look, don't tell Chad Harmon because he gonna get jealous. Look, if you see him on the street, walk on the other side because he get real possessive about me. So I'm just letting you know, if you see him, just go the other way.
We'll keep that between ourselves.
All right, Mr. Jim, we'll try to get out there and hang out with you guys on Monday. Yes, sir. And y'all stick around. You can hang out with me right here on More of the Shaletta Show. Steve, did you hear about it? Is the word getting out in the street, Steve, that I shut it all the way down today at the Breakfast Club in Minneapolis on Lagoon Avenue because Beat It came on the overhead music and they start playing Beat It and I jumped up on my seat, Steve, and I went all the way back to eighth grade. I cannot tell you what Pythagorean theorem is. I do not know the square root of pi, but I didn't miss a damn beat on Beat It, baby. I remember every routine. I remember every turn, every spin, every hand move and gesture. If they wanted me to remember Pythagorean's theorem, they should have put it in Michael Jackson's shoes because I remember every move he made.
Well, and did you know, and I bet you do, that the late, great Eddie Van Halen played guitar on that song?
I did not know that. I know Michael Peters was the one who choreographed it. Because, you know, back in the day, Michael Jackson was it. It didn't get no better than Michael Jackson. On the dance moves and the choreography. Honey, yes.
Well, and the word is about that song that Eddie was so honored to be able to play with Michael Jackson. And he was a big star, you know, in his own right, you know, a music superstar, that he did it for scale.
No way.
He didn't need a big cut out of that to be able to play guitar for Michael Jackson on that track.
Okay, now see, he cheated himself, Steve, because everybody remembers that song from the guitar. Oh, my God. No, Eddie Van Halen, don't do it. No, he could have used that money.
No, I think Eddie did all right. I don't think he used money.
Speaking of the money, the NFL draft this week. What you think, Steve? Yeah. I've been waiting all week to talk to you about it.
Here's the thing. J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback, grabbed a lot of the headlines. Mm-hmm. You really don't know. You don't know how a quarterback's going to work out. The guy I'm excited about that the Vikings got was Dallas Turner. He's the real deal. He's going to come in and make an immediate impact. McCarthy, we don't know. But Turner, this guy's going to come in and have a huge rookie year. And I don't think there's any doubt the Minnesota Vikings got a great football player there.
Now, what makes you think that? What makes you absolutely so sure about this guy's impact, Steve?
Well, number one, he played for a great program at Alabama.
Yeah.
Number two, he had a tremendous amount of impact playing a great schedule in a program that's loaded with talent. And I kind of, you know, Nick Saban's biased. He was his coach. But I think all the reviews on this guy was, he may have been on some boards the top defensive player in the draft, but so many quarterbacks and so many wide receivers and so many other players went ahead of defense. When the Vikings finally were able to pick, they got a good one. I'm really excited about this guy.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anything else about this new quarterback? How long is it going to take before he makes an impact? I mean, you just sound so lukewarm about it, Steve.
No. I just think with any of these guys drafted in the first round, you really don't know, because the history is there's no guarantee. Oh, by the way, the Minnesota Vikings go into camp with a veteran quarterback by the name of Sam Darnold. He was the third overall pick. And at this point, he is considered a bust. So you can't draw any conclusions until these guys actually start to play. Now, the good news is they've got Darnold, who can go into camp as the number one, and J.J. McCarthy can kind of learn on the job, figure it out. Because here's the difference. It's one thing to be good in college, but when you get to the speed of the NFL, where week in, week out, every one of these players on the other side of the ball, even if the other teams aren't very good, these are great football players. So it's completely different than college, and I think that's why some guys get it done, some guys don't. We don't know.
We're going to find out soon enough. Now, here's what I want to know, Steve. Could you share a house with another family? I was just reading this story in the Star Tribune. It says, friends split a mortgage, share a home to beat high housing costs. And I'm looking at this picture, and everybody looks so happy. You got little kids making food. It's two couples, one family on one side, one family on the other side. Steve, that picture would be totally different if it was at my house. That would drive me crazy. I don't want to share, but when I come home, I want it to be my quiet house. I don't want a whole other family in my house. I just left a bunch of families at work.
Here's the thing. I saw that, and the first thing I said, the older I get, the more I want to live alone. and I think my wife feels the same way. But the point being is, too much chaos. Way too much chaos. No, I couldn't do that. I would rather live in a smaller place or rent than be in a spot like that.
I couldn't do it either. Because who done ate up all the spaghetti I made? And what are y'all in the living room watching? I wanted to come home and watch something else. Who spilled this apple juice on the floor? You know, and I don't know if it's my kids, and you might raise your kids different than the way I raise my kids. So if I start yelling, your kid might start crying instead of falling in line. I don't know about that.
Yeah, they may have pets that you don't want any part of. Well, I remember way back in the day when I was single and had roommates, et cetera. I came home from work one time and saw my roommate digging into my bread and peanut butter. And I said, Jesus. What are you doing, Johnny? And he says, well, you know, your bread was getting old, and I didn't want the peanut butter to go bad. And I said, peanut butter? Peanut butter can stay good for ages. You're not doing me any favors eating my peanut butter.
He tried to make you think he was helping you out.
That's right. And I needed that peanut butter. I was planning on that for meals closer to payday.
Hello, because, baby, those college days, and your little nephew over here getting ready to go to college, Steve. Andrew's going over to St. Cloud State. Now, he thought he was going to be able to stay off campus, but when he went for his little, a thing where he goes and talks to the counselors and everything, they were like, the freshmen have to stay on campus. And he was so bummed out because he was really looking forward to having his own place. So he's going to have to learn how to have a roommate. I thought about him when I saw this story because, you know, these college dorm rooms, they are tight. They're very small. They're like, as well be in the same bed. And I was like, y'all might as well push these beds together and sleep together because this is ridiculous.
Yeah, there isn't a lot of room now. That is tough when you drop your oldest off at college. I cried like a baby on the way home after dropping off my oldest daughter at college. I was a wreck. I really was. So good luck.
Steve, you are not helping the situation right now. You're supposed to tell me, Shaletta, be strong for Andrew. Don't cry. You just told me it's okay to cry. Because if you're crying, I'm crying.
I'm not ashamed to admit it. Almost all the way home, she went to school up at St. Ben's, which is in that neck of the woods. You know, the whole hour-long drive home, I was teared up. I couldn't deal with it. Then I got home and came into her old bedroom and looked around, and it's like,
oh, my God. So I know who not to call after I drop my child off at school. Steve Thompson is coming up next. Thank y'all for being on the Shaletta Show. Have a great Saturday.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I was hosting Good Morning MSP. It was an event with Jonathan Weinhagen over at the Depot in Minneapolis. And they made this big announcement that there was a program through the city of Bloomington called Hatch. It is an opportunity for business owners to compete to win $100,000. And to open a business, brick and mortar, in the city of Bloomington. And I was like, this is amazing. I have to do what I got to do to amplify this message. So I invited Jonathan Weinhagen from the regional chamber here in Minneapolis and Bloomington Mayor Tim Bussey to join the show. They are joining me courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, good afternoon, Shaletta. Okay. Always fun to be on your show.
Now, Jonathan, you got to tell me, how did you get involved with Hatch and what this program is all about? Because there's a deadline or something coming up, and I want to make sure folks know about it and get in and share and help me spread the word before this this thing closes, because this is phenomenal. I've never heard of anything like this.
There is a deadline of May 3rd, so we are coming up, days away from the deadline. And it really was the genesis of a lot of different things. You and I have talked about the importance of capital and support for small businesses for a number of years here. And as we come out of the pandemic and think about how do we really, shore up, corridors across our cities, we need to think innovatively. And that's where Bloomington came in. The city of Bloomington came to the chamber and said, hey, we've got this idea. They did this thing in Detroit, started it 15 years ago, called Hatch. And we'd like to, replicate it right here in the city of Bloomington with a focus on brick and mortar. Would you be our partner in this? And, it didn't take long for us to get to yes. And, we've had an opportunity to go out to Detroit to learn about their program. And now we are, in the early stages with the applications open right now of bringing this thing to life and seeing some incredible business ideas come through the portal. So we're super excited about it.
Okay, now Mayor Bussey, most people are running away from Jonathan. You are running to him to work with him on this Hatch program. Talk to me about Hatch and tell folks exactly kind of what it is, you know, what it hopes to do and who it hopes to help.
Oh, I can't imagine anyone running from Jonathan. He's
I do. I can't lie to you, Mayor Bussey. I be running.
the Minneapolis Chamber has been a great partner with the city of Bloomington, and I applaud Jonathan and their willingness to jump in to this with us, because it's a bit of an adventure, but we're so happy to be partners with them. We, as Jonathan said, we were looking for ways to spur entrepreneurial fever in Bloomington and get people involved and to promote small businesses. And this idea of Hatch Bloomington came up. We're looking at it as an opportunity to promote the small businesses with an emphasis on sustainability, creativity, equity, inclusiveness. And we want applicants at basically any part of their business development timeline, folks who are in the idea stage or who are looking at expansion. The main idea, though, being that we want to see a brick and mortar facility in the city of Bloomington. And boy, the number of people that I have talked to, the number of applications that have been received, the excitement that this has generated, it's just been fantastic.
And I want to know, Mayor Bussey, do you have to live in Bloomington? I'm already getting text messages from folks, some of my entrepreneur friends who are listening to the show at their shops and in their homes, and they're saying, I don't live in Bloomington. Can I still apply?
It is not a live in Bloomington. It's to locate your business in Bloomington. So
okay.
No, the residency requirement isn't with the where you live. It's where you would locate the business.
Okay. Now, Jonathan, how can people sign up? Folks are texting me. They want a website, a link. Do they need to go somewhere? Y'all got my phone blowing up. I can't even do my show right now. These business owners heard $100,000 in brick and mortar, and they have lost their minds.
Well, we love that the word is getting out, and we encourage everybody to go visit hatchbloomington.com. Super simple. There's an application link there. It walks you right through it. And then along the way, our team is there to help support the process. We're hosting listening sessions, learning sessions. Pick up the phone, call me, call the mayor, call our team. We want to help folks, you know, bring their idea to life. And Shaletta, one of the neat things that we've heard about Hatch, you know, from the Detroit experience is the $100,000 is amazing and life-changing. But when we get down to these 10 finalists as part of the process, the visibility these folks are going to get, the opportunities in the media and through social media and other things, is just like, it's palpable. What we've heard from folks is that's almost as valuable as the cash prize. You know, we can't wait to celebrate the one, you know, individual who gets both. But you know, all along the way, there's incredible value to being a part of this process.
Okay, now, Mayor Bussey, the application deadline is May 3rd. Take me through the steps. What happens after that? Because as Jonathan was saying, there's going to be, you know, some finalists. There's going to be a selection. Talk to me about what happens after folks apply.
Well, after the applicants submit all their deliverables, their business plan and their marketing plan and all that they need to submit, there's going to be three rounds of judging over the course of about 4 months. So as we head into the summer here, the first round, we got a great group of judges put together, business leaders, community leaders, and so on, to go through the initial applications. And then as we start to winnow it down, it will become incredibly public, down to, in fact, the last one or two rounds. I'm not exactly sure. Jonathan can probably correct me on this. But literally, we'll be on stage at our community theater, a la Shark Tank, in front of a live audience, where these folks are going to have to present their business plan. They're going to have to make their pitch in front of a live audience, and community members will have the opportunity to vote online. And so it's kind of an exciting thing with business professionals winnowing the group down a bit, but then having the whole community involved in deciding who the ultimate winner will be.
Oh my gosh, this is exciting. It's also scary. Talk to me about the ultimate goal, Jonathan. You know, we're hearing a lot. Is it that we want to promote small businesses? We want to expand, you know, entrepreneurs in Bloomington. We want to highlight, you know, the need to support small businesses. You know, what's the one thing that, you know, you're most excited about with Hatch Bloomington?
Shalette, I start with saying it's all of the above. It's all of those things you just mentioned. The thing that I'm most excited about is spurring that energy and that innovation and creating opportunity. And to have the city of Bloomington as a partner, this incredible beacon as a city, And I would just note that since we launched this thing, we're hearing from cities all across the metro kind of asking us, like, hey, what about us? Can we do something similar? And I think the message I've heard from, you know, Mayor Bussey and the Bloomington team is bring it on. We'd love to see Hatch all across the MSP region. So we're excited about this. We're grateful for the leadership of the mayor and his team. And we just can't wait to, you know, to get to that May 3rd deadline, to start winnowing down the applicants and to learn more about these incredible entrepreneurs that want to bring something to life in the city of Bloomington.
Okay. Give me that website again, Mayor Bussey, because I want to make sure everybody has this information. And my producer, Josh, is going to also put it online because my phone is literally blowing up. I have to do my show, y'all. I'm in the middle of a show, everybody. They think that because we're talking and it sounds like we're having a conversation that I'm not working. I'm actually working, so I can't get to the people right now. So give us that website again because I want to make sure that nobody misses this. This is the thing, Mayor Bussey, is, you know, a lot of times for entrepreneurs and small business owners, we're so busy working that we miss out on opportunities. And so by the time we hear about it, it's in the paper and we've missed the deadline. And I want to make sure, especially with Hatch Bloomington and how much fun this process is going to be, that people don't miss this opportunity to apply to be a part of the process. Because like Jonathan said, even the folks who don't win the $100,000, just being a part of the process, it's going to be fun. You're going to get the visibility. You're going to get all this earned media attention, and you're going to be able to make some great connections that are going to last, you know, a lifetime.
You're exactly right. First of all, you're exactly right. You're the hardest working woman in show business, without question. I have no doubt about that. But also, you're right that anybody who just participates is going to see a huge benefit on this, the exposure, but also some of the work that they do behind the scenes with our folks who will help them with their business plan, with their marketing plan. And you're absolutely right. I've been talking to mayors across the metro region who want in on this. And you always know that something is working in city government when other cities try and do the same thing. That's why we're copying Hatch Detroit, and other cities will copy Hatch Bloomington, just because it's a great idea. The website is www.hatchbloomington.com. The deadline is coming up next week. We'd love to see as many people as possible get their name in the hopper. We would love to see it.
Well, Mayor Bussey, my brother Jonathan, thank y'all so much for being on the Shaletta Show. We've had a blast.
Thank you, my friend. Always fun to be on.
All right. Yes, and I have to thank Jonathan, too. This thing went out and bought 100 copies of my son's autism book, Andrew Does His Dance. Thank you so much. I was so blown away. I was like, how do we go from number 85 to number 2 on the bestseller list? Who bought 100 books? That was you. Thank you, friend. I really appreciate you helping me spread autism awareness.
You are welcome.
All right, y'all stick around. We've got more to come. I woke up this morning and I told my kiddos, I said, after we finish our swim lessons at the Minneapolis Club, we are going to go to the Minneapolis Breakfast Club on Lagoon. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever been there. This is an unsolicited, unpaid endorsement. I went there the first time a couple of weeks ago. I'd never been before. And I got in there and it was just a vibe. They had 80s music playing. I'm talking Phil Collins, Madonna, Sting, The Police, Jody Watley, Tone Loc. I mean, it was beautiful. I felt at home. I was like, you know, I don't know what the food is going to be like, but the vibe is everything. It was so clean in there. And this is the funny thing. So when I was asking about the menu, the waitress told me we have Instagrammable food. And you know me, I immediately knew she was talking about. She was talking about taking pictures and putting it on social media. And y'all know that's my jam, right? So I ordered, I can't remember what I ordered that time, but it was something with some cornbread on the bottom and some pork and black beans and corn with some kind of sauce. And it was freaking delicious. I also had breakfast egg rolls. And I also had corn dogs that had hot cakes on the outside and sausage on the inside and some kind of strawberry syrup gravy. And I also, and this is why I have gained back those 18 ounces that I had lost. Mm-hmm. I also had mimosas. And it was just the greatest little spot. And I was having a good time. And then they turned it up to 10 because all of a sudden a DJ came in. I was like, wait a minute. You got MTV playing on the TVs. You got Instagrammable food that actually tastes good. Because I don't know about y'all. I've been in restaurants where the food looks good and you're taking pictures and you're posting on social media about how pretty the food is. And then you put it in your mouth and it tastes like your kids made it. Mm-hmm. Not this place. That food's good. That food was really, really good. And so, the DJ came in and we were jamming. And all of a sudden, my son Daniel gets up. And he is dancing to Phil Collins' Sussudio. And I mean, he is getting his little 9-year-old dance moves on. And I swear people were clapping and cheering him on. I said, you know, I need to get a 10 cup or something because it is never too early to start that college savings fund. And if they appreciate it this much, then they need to be making a donation because my baby was putting on the show. And so we all had food and everybody really enjoyed everything they had. The kids even tried the chicken and gravy. My kids don't eat gravy, but they enjoyed it. The DJ came and baby, he played Beat It by Michael Jackson. Yes, he did that. And I, ladies and gentlemen, could not control what happened next with my body parts. I jumped up out of that seat in that booth and I got in the middle of the Breakfast Club Minneapolis and I started doing the Beat It dance combination. My children were mortified. They started calling me Miss Shaletta because they thought, surely this is not my mom. I was in a trance, y'all. All I was missing was a glitter glove, some glitter socks, and a Jerry Curl and that red jacket with all the zippers on it. That's all I was missing because I, you know, it's I can't remember what the square root of pi is, but damn it, I remember that whole Michael Jackson Beat It routine from beginning to end. Now, listen, right now my knees are hurting. Really? I have some ibuprofen that I took during a commercial break, but for 7 minutes, oh, I was Michael Jackson, Michael Peters, whoever was in the video, that was me. I was doing all the routines. I'm telling you, I almost went down on one knee and let the kids throw my coat over my shoulders like James Brown used to do when he, you know, did his dance moves and had the cape and Maceo, a bird would come over and throw the cape on him. That was almost me, except my kids were too embarrassed. I looked for Brandon. He was under the table, embarrassed. Daniel was hiding his face. Cameron was just, she was just shaking her head. They were pretty embarrassed. I had a good time and I high five some people at the restaurant who understood how complex that dance routine was because Michael Jackson was not to be played with back in the day. So we had a good time. We had a good time. Food was good. The vibe was good. The place was clean. And when we got there, it was really early because we have swim at the Minneapolis Club at 7:15. Then we went over to the Breakfast Club. So we got there probably about 8:15, 8:30. So we got right in and got a table. But when we left at about 9:45, headed to church so the kids could go to choir rehearsal for 10. Oh, that place was packed. People were standing outside and nobody was complaining because they knew what I knew. That the place was hot and smoking. And here's the sweetest thing. So the manager who was there, he came right up to me. He said, I know you. I said, you do? And he said, I am a faithful listener to WCCO Radio. He said, and I love Sid Hartman. And I listen to Chad Hartman and I love how you give him the business every Friday afternoon. You don't ever give him a break. You don't miss. You stay on him. I love it. And he starts telling me these stories about how when he lived out of town, and this was before we could stream and podcast and go online and listen to the station, you know, he said that he would pick up a copy of the Star Tribune just so he could read Sid's column so he could feel like he was closer to home in the Twin Cities. And so he said when he got an opportunity to come back and run this restaurant, we're talking about the Breakfast Club of Minneapolis, he came back gladly to do that. And I tell you, he is making it an amazing atmosphere. Like I said, I had a great time. I'm still full because I ate my food I ate part of Cameron's food and most of Brandon's food because it was just everything was so good and it was such a great atmosphere. And it was nice to go to a place where I could take my kids and they enjoy it. And you know what? I don't even know if they had like the color and stuff because the food came so fast. We didn't even have to ask for like, can we have some colors or color and stuff? But they were quite entertained with the music and the vibe, and it's well lit and the windows are open and construction's a booger. But there is a parking ramp nearby that you can park in, but that part of Lagoon Avenue is under construction. There's one lane. It's hard to kind of see how to get there, but just go ahead and park in the ramp, go in, have breakfast or brunch. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. That's the Breakfast Club of Minneapolis. I had an amazing time, and I wish that I could remember the name of that manager there. He was so kind and so sweet to me and my family when we came, and to have him tell me he was a listener of this historic radio station, it just meant all the world to me. And it'll mean all the world to me if y'all stick around and come back. You know, I love getting out in community and hanging with people and talking to people and meeting new people. And so this week I had the pleasure of speaking at the Rotary Club in Minneapolis. And I went, and I think it was Wednesday morning at an ungodly hour, something like 7:15. I had to leave my kids and say, okay, I hope y'all make it to school because I promised these people I'd go speak at the Rotary Club. And I'm guessing they made it to school because they made it home. Bless the Lord. And I got there and, you know, we had breakfast and coffee and hung out. And then, you know, I just kind of told them my story and we chatted and I challenged them. You know, because next week is Small Business Week, that each one of them would spend some time with a small business owner that they did not know and do what they could to help them. You know, as these organizations like the Rotary Club and so many others look to try to define who they are and what they do for community and cement their legacy. You know, I told them, I said, it's time out for meetings. It's time out for, you know, parliamentary procedures. It's time to get out there and help the people. And I told them, what they doing for Q1, Q2? What kind of service projects have they gotten involved in? What are they doing to make sure that small business owners like me have an opportunity to have their ear, to connect to the people and the resources that they know, right? And so as soon as the meeting was over, Jim Nelson ran up to me. Never met Jim Nelson before in my life. And he said, you know, I just want to tell you, I'm connected to something called Onward House. And it's for residential houses and bedrooms. And we got programming and case management. And we're really trying to help people who are experiencing homelessness or, you know, housing instability. I said, okay, all right, I like what you're doing. And so he went on and on about Onward House and how much, you know, he's been involved since he got started. He's on the board over there. And it's been around since 2018, but they've got this new strategic plan they got going on. And I said, you know, Jim, I want you to come on my show so we can talk about Onward House because I like the work that you're doing with this organization. And don't you know, Jim made some time for me. Hey, Jim.
Hello there. How are you?
Jim, I am great. It was so good to meet you. Did we have fun or did we have fun this week at the Rotary Club?
You energized the room in a big way.
I keep telling people, if they are not hiring me to speak at their events, they are missing out. I mean, you know, people always say, no disrespect to the other hosts in town. I was like, but I'm the best. It's okay to say it. You can say it out loud. They all know. I know. It's okay. You can say it. But I had a good time. I was so grateful that you all had me there. And, you know, just to chat with you all and to meet new people like you. And in addition to, you know, being a part of the Rotary, you're now on the board of Onward House. Now, you got to tell me what Onward House is and what it's all about, because when you shared the vision of this organization with me, immediately, what did I tell you? I was like, you got to come on my radio show and talk about it.
And I was very happy to do it. I'll tell you, in a nutshell, Shaletta, Onward operates a house. The house is presently located in Eden Prairie, but we've got some strategic plans that we hope that it'll be more than that. But we serve young adults, and by that I mean 18 to 24 years old, who are, as you mentioned, in an unstable housing situation. That is, they've been in an abusive household, they're rejected by their family because they're LGBTQ, or they're living in poverty, and any number of factors. But essentially, mm-hmm. they're without a home. They may be living in their car, or they may be couch surfing at friends, as long as the friends will have them. At various places. And I think we can only imagine how hard it is to maintain a job or keep up with studies when you don't know where you're going to be sleeping tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are kind of hidden because they're not in shelters. They might have been in foster care when they were younger, but now they're adults. And so what Onward does is our house has only four bedrooms, so we can only handle four at one time. But we provide that stable place for these young adults to live for up to 2 years while the resident works or completes their studies, whether it be high school or post-secondary training. So, and along with those safe places to live, the Onward provides supportive services. We teaching life skills, financial literacy, budgeting, of course, and of course, just plain old person-to-person encouragement in developing and meeting goals, so that the resident can successfully launch into an independent living situation.
Now, how did you get involved with the board? What was that process like?
Yeah, well, I got involved, and I've only been a member of the board for the last 5 months. I joined in January, and mm-hmm. so if you ask me something I don't know, I'm going to be honest and tell you I don't know. But I have an acquaintance through Rotary, a member of the Eden Prairie Noon Rotary Club, who's been very active in Onward. And in fact, John Urbanski is the president of the board of Onward this year. And he contacted me late last year and described Onward because I'd never heard of it before. Told me some success stories, had me meet some of the board members with whom I was terribly impressed, but a wonderful group of committed people, and then asked me to join the board, and it didn't take me long to decide to say yes because I was so inspired by it.
And so, what are some of your goals being on the board at Onward? Do you, because a lot of times when people are in the day to day, it's hard to see long term. But having somebody new come in with a fresh set of eyes, what are some of your goals and what's impressed you the most about Onward and the service that, the program provides?
Yeah. First of all, in terms of my goal in joining the board, I think aligns with the board's goals in having me. Which is they've been kind of, the legal name is Onward Eden Prairie, but they serve the West Metro suburbs,
mm-hmm.
and they'll take people from anywhere, but their volunteers and their board members have primarily been residents of Eden Prairie, and mm-hmm. they to expand and complete their strategic goal, which I could share with you a little bit too. They need other people from other communities to be on the board and to make contacts, to look for volunteers, to look for money, et cetera, and to create awareness of the program in these other communities. So that's why I agreed to join. That's what I'm doing.
Okay. And what's impressed you the most coming in, seeing, this work? What did you see that you said, oh my God, this is amazing?
Easily, it's the stories I've heard of their successes. Now, we've really been in business only since 2018, so we have a limited number, four at a time. Well, there's two things. One is the need for this kind of service. And this is the only organization that has this kind of on-site supportive services for this age group in the West Metro that we know of. The success stories I've heard, one resident has graduated from the program, and not only that, graduated with a nursing degree. She's now a registered nurse.
Wow.
Yeah. We just had one exit the program, and we did a little, exit interview. Mm-hmm. And this resident said, it's very much like a home. It's as close to being a home as a program can be. And then she said, this place gave me the opportunity to have dreams. Think of that. I mean, the opportunity to have dreams. And, you know, if you're couch surfing and you're just struggling just to survive, it's tough. It's tough. And it's tough to have dreams. Tough to have dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. Have more nightmares than dreams if that's your reality. Sure. Now, let me ask you, Jim, how can folks get involved in Onward? If somebody is hearing this story and says, you know, I need to do more to get involved. I said at the beginning of the year when I made my New Year's resolutions that I was going to do more volunteer work and I haven't done anything. This sounds like something I want to be connected with. This sounds like a place I want to donate my dollars. How can they get in touch with Onward?
Yes. They can start with our website, which is onwardep.org. Very simple.
Onwardep.org. That's where you need to go.
Stands for Eden Prairie, the EP. I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
I want you to be aware that we are having an open house at the home on Monday. This coming Monday, the 29th, at 4:30, 6:30. I've already invited you.
Yes, you have.
I hope you come and bring a friend. And you can get information on that at the website, www.onwardeatingprayer.org/openhouse.
Yep, and it is Monday from 4:30 to 6:30. Folks will get to tour the house, meet the board and staff, learn more. They want you to RSVP on the website, and you can contact the executive director. Her name is Tricia Wright, and that information for the RSVP is on the website, onwardep.org/openhouse. Jim Nelson, thank you for being my new best friend.
And thank you for
coming on my show.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
really
appreciate it. Don't tell Chad Harmon because he's going to get jealous. Look, if you see him on the street, walk on the other side because he get real possessive about me. So I'm just letting you know. If you see him, just go the other way.
We'll keep that between ourselves.
All right, Mr. Jim, we'll try to get out there and hang out with you guys on Monday. Yes, sir. And y'all stick around. You can hang out with me right here on More of the Shaletta Show. Steve, did you hear about it? Is the word getting out in the street, Steve, that I shut it all the way down today at the Breakfast Club in Minneapolis on Lagoon Avenue because Beat It came on the overhead music and they start playing Beat It and I jumped up on my seat, Steve, and I went all the way back to eighth grade. I cannot tell you what Pythagorean theorem is. I do not know the square root of pi, but I didn't miss a damn beat on Beat It, baby. I remember every routine. I remember every turn, every spin, every hand move and gesture. If they wanted me to remember Pythagorean theorem, they should have put it in Michael Jackson's shoes because I remember every move he made.
Well, and did you know, and I bet you do, that the late, great Eddie Van Halen played guitar on that song?
I did not know that. I know Michael Peters was the one who choreographed it, because, you know, back in the day, Michael Jackson was it. It didn't get no better than Michael Jackson. On the dance moves and the choreography, honey, yes.
Well, and the word is about that song that Eddie was so honored to be able to play with Michael Jackson. And he was a big star, you know, in his own right, you know, a music superstar, that he did it for scale.
He
didn't need a big cut out of that to be able to play guitar for Michael Jackson on that track.
Okay, now see, he cheated himself, Steve, because everybody remembers that song from the guitar. Oh, my God. No, Eddie Van Halen, don't do it. No, he could have used that money.
No, I think Eddie did all right. I don't think he used the money.
Speaking of the money, the NFL draft this week. What you think, Steve? Yeah. I've been waiting all week to talk to you about it.
Here's the thing. J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback, grabbed a lot of the headlines. Mm-hmm. You really don't know. You don't know how a quarterback's going to work out. The guy I'm excited about that the Vikings got was Dallas Turner. He's the real deal. He's going to come in and make an immediate impact. McCarthy, we don't know. But Turner, this guy's going to come in and have a huge rookie year. And I don't think there's any doubt the Minnesota Vikings got a great football player there.
Now, what makes you think that? What makes you absolutely so sure about this guy's impact, Steve?
Well, number one, he played for a great program at Alabama.
Yeah.
Number two, he had a tremendous amount of impact playing a great schedule in a program that's loaded with talent. And I kind of, you know, Nick Saban's biased. He was his coach. But I think all the reviews on this guy was he may have been on some boards the top defensive player in the draft. But so many quarterbacks and so many wide receivers and so many other players went ahead of defense. When the Vikings finally were able to pick, they got a good one. I'm really excited about this guy.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anything else about this new quarterback? You know, how long is it going to take before he makes an impact? I mean, you just sound so lukewarm about it, Steve.
No. I just think with any of these guys drafted in the first round, you really don't know because the history is there's no guarantee. Oh, by the way, the Minnesota Vikings go into camp with a veteran quarterback by the name of Sam Darnold. He was the third overall pick. And at this point, he is considered a bust. So you can't draw any conclusions until these guys actually start to play. Now, the good news is they've got Darnold, who can go into camp as the number one, and J.J. McCarthy can kind of learn on the job, figure it out. Because here's the difference. It's one thing to be good in college, but when you get to the speed of the NFL, where week in, week out, every one of these players on the other side of the ball, even if the other teams aren't very good, these are great football players. So it's completely different than college, and I think that's why some guys get it done, some guys don't. We don't know.
We're going to find out soon enough. Now, here's what I want to know, Steve. Could you share a house with another family? I was just reading this story in the Star Tribune. It says, friends split a mortgage, share a home to beat high housing costs. And I'm looking at this picture, and everybody looks so happy. You got little kids making food. It's two couples, one family on one side, one family on the other side. Steve, that picture would be totally different if it was at my house. That would drive me crazy. I don't want to share, but when I come home, I want it to be my quiet house. I don't want a whole other family in my house. I just left a bunch of families at work.
Here's the thing. I saw that, and the first thing I said, the older I get, the more I want to live alone. and I think my wife feels the same way. But the point being is too much chaos. Way too much chaos. No, I couldn't do that. I would rather live in a smaller place or rent than be in a spot like that.
I couldn't do it either. Because who done ate up all the spaghetti I made? And what are y'all in the living room watching? I wanted to come home and watch something else. Who spilled this apple juice on the floor? You know, and I don't know if it's my kids, and you might raise your kids different than the way I raise my kids. So if I start yelling, your kid might start crying instead of falling in line. Steve, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah, they may have pets that you don't want any part of. Well, I remember way back in the day when I was single and had roommates, et cetera. I came home from work one time and saw my roommate digging into my bread and peanut butter. And I said,
Jesus.
What are you doing, Johnny? And he says, well, you know, your bread was getting old, and I didn't want the peanut butter to go bad. And I said, peanut butter? Peanut butter can stay good for ages. You're not doing me any favors eating my peanut butter.
He tried to make you think he was helping you out.
That's right. And I needed that peanut butter. I was planning on that for meals closer to payday.
Hello, because, baby, those college days, and your little nephew over here getting ready to go to college, Steve. Andrew's going over to St. Cloud State. Now, he thought he was going to be able to stay off campus, but when he went for his little, you know, a thing where he goes and talks to the counselors and everything.
Yeah,
they were like,
sure.
No, yeah, the freshmen have to stay on campus. And he was so bummed out because he was really looking forward to having his own place. So he's going to have to learn how to have a roommate. I thought about him when I saw this story because, you know, these college dorm rooms, they are tight. They're very small. They're like, might as well be in the same bed. I was like, y'all might as well push these beds together and sleep together because this is ridiculous.
Yeah, there isn't a lot of room now. That is tough when you drop your oldest off at college. I cried like a baby on the way home after dropping off my oldest daughter at college. I was a wreck. I really was. So good luck.
Steve, you are not helping the situation right now. You're supposed to tell me, Shaletta, be strong for Andrew. Don't cry. You just told me it's okay to cry. Because if you're crying, I'm crying.
I'm not ashamed to admit it. Almost all the way home, she went to school up at St. Ben's, which is in that neck of the woods. You know, the whole hour-long drive home, I was teared up. I couldn't deal with it. Then I got home and came into her old bedroom and looked around, and it's like,
oh, my God. So I know who not to call after I drop my child off at school. Steve Thompson is coming up next. Thank y'all for being on the Shaletta Show. Have a great Saturday.